Good morning, film fans, and welcome to the Real Rundown Podcast. It is Thursday, October 15th, 2015. We've got a lot of topics to rant about today. I'm Epic Film Guy Nick.
Epic Film Guy Justin is in attendance as well, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much for joining us, Justin. You forgot Ape Men. Don't forget to, ladies, gentlemen, and Ape Men.
There's no such thing as ape man or ape guy or ape thing or ape woman.
There is, too. I sent you a photograph of the fucking mask that's hanging up. It has your name on it. I sent you a photograph of it the other day.
There ain't no ape man.
I know you've been using it to rob banks.
That's not true. It's a third-rate hoodlum who masquerades as a monkey.
I saw, yeah, you're that third-rate hoodlum. I saw your name on the goddamn mask.
Tis not true. Until you get the police to do an investigation and prove it, I plead the fifth.
I'm going to get Inspector Dill Pickle on the case, I reckon.
And something's got to be done.
Something's got to be done.
Real quick before we start.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us, Justin. And thank you very much, everybody that's listening, for joining us here on The Real Rundown. We definitely appreciate everybody that tunes in every week. And Justin, you wanted to mention somebody specific off the top here.
Right off the top. One of my pals from work, Henry, says that I never give him a shout out in my podcast or any of my reviews. So here it is, Henry. I'm sure you'll stop listening after I say your name, but hey, but here it is, man. Shout out to you, brother.
Maybe we're just going to mention him at different intervals during the podcast. So maybe, Henry, listen through to the end, because we might just throw you in there when we're talking about any old thing. All of a sudden, Henry's name's going to come up. So you never know. But we definitely appreciate it. Thank you very, very much to everybody that listens to The Real Rundown. We certainly appreciate it. Definitely. So, Justin, I don't know. What do you want to talk about first? Oh, I know what I want to talk about. I want you to tell me what beer you're drinking.
Have at it. Your absolute favorite beer of all time, the Southern Tier Brewery Pumpkin.
What Justin did was he took a fat pumpkin and he just cut a big slice out of it, and he's just chewing on the flesh of the pumpkin, and that'll give you about an idea of what pumpkin tastes like.
Nick,
it is not good.
Don't be delusional here. Don't be delusional. Half of our listeners probably have already tried pumpkin. It's one of the most popular pumpkin beers on the market.
I bet you more than half. More than half, probably.
They've at least
tried
it.
Depending on where they are. I mean, I know Southern Tier's got a pretty long reach by now, but...
Hey, man, I've seen it go all the way down near Florida, so it's not just Southern Tier, it's East Coast, brother.
Well, the brewery that I went to last week, Bacchus, up in Dryden, they don't do a pumpkin beer, and that was one of the reasons that they actually were talking about. Because Southern Tier has become so big, and because pumpkin is like the go-to pumpkin beer in this area, they're a smaller brewery, and they're like, you know what? We don't want to have to devote, you know, space in our tanks or anything like that to making a pumpkin that, you know, might have some success, but, you know, by and large, people... They can't get taps in bars and in other tap rooms because everybody's ordering pumpkin because that's what everybody wants. So I do not want pumpkin or any of those shitty pumpkin beers. So Justin, you can keep all of those. And I know I'm gonna tell on you because I know that is not your pumpkin that you're drinking. It belongs to the wife.
The wife doesn't listen to the podcast, so it doesn't really make a difference either way because she's not going to listen. She'll I have a plan to fake it to make it look like it's still in there, so don't worry
about it. You know what you should do? You should do, you know, what you used to do with liquor bottles when you were
a kid. I'm doing
it.
That's what
I'm
doing.
Fill it back up with water and put the top back in the fridge until you can replace it.
How did you guess?
That's awesome. That makes me really happy.
So, dude.
She's going to... break that fucking bottle over here.
It's possible. I mean, if I'm not alive for next week's podcast, film fans, be aware of the reasoning why pumpkin can cause a riot. It can cause murder.
Next week, by the way, we were talking about this before the show, but next week is going to be our Back to the Future episode. We're recording a day early so that this episode can go live the day it's October 21st, that Marty and Doc arrive in the future.
That's actually not the only reason. The main reason is that I'll be at the Alamo Draft House for a screening of Back to the Future 2 on the iconic date, October 21st, 2015, to see the film. Getting my special limited edition pint glass, which I'll be drinking some awesome craft beer out of. And I'll be so astounded and excited about the event that I won't be able to come back and talk to you at all. I mean, you know.
Well, because you'll probably be in the bathroom at the Alamo with your dick in your hand, passed out from, like, enjoyment or something. I don't even know.
It's going to be a huge deal. And not only that, but I'm not sure if I discussed this with you, but I found out last minute that Christopher Lloyd will be at the Washington, D.C. Film Festival, which is actually like 5 miles down the street from me, with Bob Gale and a few other people that helped create Back to the Future. Michael J. Fox will not be in attendance. And no, Leah Thompson, I will not see you again, as much as I loved seeing you back in June. But they're going to be at the film festival. And even though it's like actually like $80 a ticket, I don't think I'm going to shell out for it. I'm still going to head that way that next Sunday and see if I can catch a glimpse of Christopher Lloyd or see if he'll take me for a ride in the old time machine. You never know.
Hey, that'd be pretty nice. And I didn't get a chance to mention what I'm drinking. I started the night off with one of those One Buffalo beers, also from Southern Tier. Not my favorite beer. But now I'm drinking a Saranac Legacy IPA. You were drinking the Saranac Pumpkin out of the little jug last week. Now I've got the Legacy IPA out of the little jug this week. So
I love that. That's my favorite, I have to say. The Saranac Pumpkin. It's the best pumpkin. Though I did have, what was it? Last night I texted you the, oh man.
You don't text me. You don't speak to me outside of this podcast.
We're like 10 minutes in. We haven't talked about movies at all. What kind of epic film guys are we?
We're the epic film and beer guys. I'm telling you.
I'm actually looking right now at the new poster for The Night Before, which is the new Christmas movie coming out with Seth Rogen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Anthony Mackie. Looks quite hilarious, actually.
Oh, I think, did I retweet that earlier? I think I retweeted it earlier. I don't know. I retweet a lot of shit.
You know that I'm not a Rogen fan at all. At all, which is weird because from everyone that I talk to, you're like the epitome of a Seth Rogen.
Yeah, that is pretty funny because I hear that from a lot of people that I look and sound exactly like Seth Rogen. It must be grating for you to have to put up with me on a daily basis or anything.
It's weird though because I don't care for Seth Rogen, but for some reason I love the living shit out of you. I don't know why.
It's because I'm so sweet and lovable.
Big news today.
That's like the shittiest segue of all time.
Hey man,
what big news? I don't even want to hear about it. What happened? Nothing happened today.
Are you kidding?
Absolutely
me?
Nothing.
We talked about it a few weeks ago, but that official statement from Legendary and Warner Brothers that we're gonna get a King Kong versus Godzilla, man.
What?
You know this, man. You know this,
look,
man.
I could get Photoshop and just fucking slap Jackson's Kong in Edward's film and done. We've already got the film.
No way. The whole issue at hand right now, and this is what most fanboys are complaining about, rightly so, the size difference. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Me and you have talked about this a long time. I think we actually talked about it not long after Edward and Godzilla came out. You know, we were just talking about the possibilities of seeing King Kong and Godzilla together again. And we were talking about it before the podcast a little bit with the idea that it may be actually a fun idea to not scale Kong up quite the size of Godzilla, but just a little bit. So that way he has a disadvantage to make the fights a little bit more like he's the underdog.
Yeah. And that was something that one of our readers, I don't know if Ray listens to the podcast, but Ray was the one that had mentioned that King Kong is
Ray Bensley.
Yep. No, King Kong is 30 feet tall. And yeah, that kind of brought that out in me that I don't want him to scale Kong up. I don't want it to be the size of Jackson's Kong necessarily. I want him to be bigger than that because, you know, that Kong would be a snack to Edward's Godzilla, which is going to be the same universe. So that is the Godzilla that we're going to see in that film. So Yeah, I would love to see, you know, them scale up Kong at least a little bit. But yeah, I want Godzilla to be bigger than Kong, and therefore he's got the size advantage over Kong, but then Kong's going to have to be more resourceful.
The question is, you tell me, who's going to win?
Ah, man, I'm too big a Godzilla fan to pick against the big G.
I really am.
I'm too big a Godzilla fan to pick against the big G.
You have to think. I am. It's the same idea.
He's going to use that atomic breath and set Kong's fucking fur on fire, and he's going to have to go beating his chest through the jungle and dive into the ocean so he doesn't, burn to death.
Kong gives some, like, MMA-style punches, though. That's one thing that you didn't see from Edwards' Godzilla. Now, granted, he has his arms. You saw them very movable, motivated. He can choke. He can grab a lot easier than the previous Godzillas, where we would see him kind of like a little bit stifled, a little bit stiff.
True.
But I'm excited to see, like, some brutal fights. I can see Kong on top of Godzilla pounding him, fist right in the jaw. Probably,
and think about it, getting like a weapon of some kind, like sitting there just fucking.
Dude, take a fucking building, like, man. Take yeah, a building like a and chunk just of a building
or something to just, flailing his arms, swinging his arms, just bashing the shit out of Godzilla in the face. I think it would look great. I think it'll be
awesome. Logically, the film is not slated until 2020. So we've still got Skull Island before that, and Edwards'
and we've got Godzilla sequel. Too, yep.
So, and we've got time for CG 2. Not that I think that in a couple of years it's going to look so much better, but it will mature a little bit more. And I have a strong feeling the budget's going to be a lot larger for King Kong versus Godzilla than for Edwards' Godzilla or even Skull Island. It will
be, depending on what we see box office wise out of both Skull Island and Godzilla 2. Remember those. Godzilla, I mean, it made, $500 million, I think, worldwide. It certainly wasn't a failure by any means, considering its budget. But you're talking something like that's going to need a little bit bigger budget than the Edwards Godzilla film had. I think, what did that have, like $140 million budget? It was relatively small for a blockbuster.
It was. To be honest with you, I don't recall, but we talked about that before.
Yeah, we talked about this in episode 11 when it was rumored.
160 was the rumored budget for Godzilla, which is, I mean, it's there, but it's, let's see. Worldwide, it made $529 million. So.
Oh, did we both just look it up?
We did.
Oh, well, yeah, $160 million budget, so. That's not too bad, but I mean, like I said, we talked about this in episode 11, so I didn't want to dwell on it, but that's what I wanted to bring to that discussion was, why do they need to make Kong the same size? I mean, granted, in the old school film, obviously the two dudes in the suits are, the same size and, whatever. But, I don't like that idea. I like the idea of a smaller Kong who's got the size disadvantage, but then has to make up for it in other ways. So I think it's going to be really interesting. I know you're excited. I'm excited. Speaking of which, did you see the trailer for that Japanese-made Gamera movie?
I did. Yeah, you sent me, I believe, a text where you tagged me in it.
I think I tagged you in it on Facebook because I think Jeff Miller posted it on Facebook.
I had already seen it before that.
Well, of course you already.
But I appreciate your concern.
I don't know why I bother telling you about movie news. You already know about everything before I ever fucking tell you anything.
I'm telling you, one of these days I'm going to get fired from my job because I'm like, I can't stay away from movies. I'm sorry, doctor. It's an addiction. Please give me something to handle this. That's not movies. That's not a theater.
No, that just means you need more movies.
More movies.
Means you need to spend more time in the theater with old skins.
I miss the day. I do too.
I can't wait to come down there and watch Batman Superman. And for when you come home over the holidays to go see Star Wars with you, even though we'll both have seen it by then.
So you do realize that the tickets for Star Wars go on sale on the 20th next week, right?
No, it's the 19th. It's the same day the trailer lands.
Which is Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was a day off. All right.
Either way, but you know damn well that early advance tickets for Star Wars go on sale. But a lot of theaters, they're only going to have so many screens, or they're only going to have so many showings posted. And then as it gets closer to release date, they're going to have more, and they're going to add more, and they're going to add more. I'm going to buy my tickets, like, literally as soon as they're posted and they're available, going to snap them up as quickly as I can. I'm looking forward to you coming home for the holidays and catching that movie with you. Because as much as I want to see that movie and as happy as I'll be to see that movie, it's not going to be like that's an epic film, guys, movie like Man of Steel was, or like when we went and saw the Dark Knight trilogy in the theater, and, you know, some of these other event films like Interstellar when we went to see that. Like there's just these certain films, and even Godzilla, I think.
Yeah.
Where it's just you and I, like, there's just this fucking energy, and we, not only do we have it, but then we sit around people and we talk to them and we feed off of their energy and we feed that energy back to them. And we just get so pumped up for these movies. And it's just, oh, God, it sucks not fucking having you around to watch movies.
It does. I mean, I definitely feel that kind of feeling from other participants at the Alamo Draft House, which I was at last night, seeing John McTiernan's Predator, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Predator!
But you get that vibe there, because the majority of people that go to that theater, especially for the classic movies or the films that have already been out for many years, is that these people care. They love these movies. They go and they watch them again and again, like myself. Like, yeah, I own like 3 versions of Predator already, and I'm still going.
Think of when we went to see Ghostbusters.
It's the same thing.
Cinemark last year. Like, how awesome was that? And everybody there was quoting lines, and everybody there was just so excited to go and see that movie on the big screen again. It was such a great experience.
It was. And there, the Alamo quote along actually for Ghostbusters is next week, but I decided I'm not going to try to dig into that because I've already done it and it was great and I don't really need to.
Very true. But what? You trailed off there.
I bought Home Alone today, the new 4K restoration.
I know you did, you son of a bitch, and tell us what you got with it.
It came with the hat that Kevin McAllister wears. It's got a bunch of moose on it, and it's pretty cool, but it doesn't really fit me that well. But
it's got a bunch of moose on it because you put it on your fucking head?
I did. It's quite small, but...
Is it a hat that's literally meant for like a 10-year-old kid and you're wearing it around?
Dude, it looks like the same exact size as Macaulay Culkin wore in the original film. But I think the wife will end up wearing it more. I might stretch it out a little bit and wear it because there's no way that I'm not going to wear that hat. But hey, man, $14, the hat came with it, both Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, all the special features, plus a brand new 4K restoration of the film from 20th Century Fox, and it looks great. I didn't watch the whole film. I did check it out real quick to see what the transfer looked like. Very excited. That just came out last week. So glad that I picked that up. Even though I'm in like complete horror mode right now. Yeah, I know I said that the last podcast. But
well, we're both in complete horror mode. I'm pretty proud. And not to toot my own horn, because I'm very proud of what you've been doing so far with our horror challenge. But I'm proud of myself, too, even though I fell behind with my sister's wedding over the weekend and everything. So I got very, very busy. Plus with podcasting last week, I didn't get a chance to watch anything. I'm catching up now, but I've caught a bunch of new flicks that I hadn't seen before. And I'm reliving, re-enjoying some old favorites, even though I've gotten through the first 4 Saw movies, which are the only ones that I really enjoy watching. Now I move into like Saw 5, 6, and 7, which are going to make me want to fucking smash my forehead against the desk until the top part of my head splits open and my brain falls out. And then I have to just play fucking juggle my brain around with like empty beer bottles and this little stuffed Dalek toy that I have on my desk.
You know, Nick, there are plenty of other movies out there outside of the Saw franchise.
I know, but that's one of my go-tos every Halloween. It is one of my go-tos every Halloween as I relive the Saw franchise. And people, for whatever reason, like if you look at the ratings on Netflix or IMDb or any rating system, they go down consistently with each installment. I really don't understand how people don't like 3 more than two, especially. Maybe not more than one, but I admit,
you know how I am about horror. I love it. But I stopped going to the theater to see them after four. That was the last one for me.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, I am very, very happy with our output for the horror challenge. And I want to thank, again, all of our participants that are taking part in the Epic Film Guys Horror Challenge. We certainly appreciate it. And, Justin, we had talked about when we initiated the horror challenge that we were going to be selecting some films for people to watch as part of the Epic Film Guys Horror Challenge. And we haven't done that yet. And we're now two solid weeks plus into October. So what I wanted to do...
Yep. 16 more days till Halloween. Halloween, Halloween. 16 more days till Halloween. Silver Shamrock.
What I wanted to do is listen to Justin sing a song about Halloween. The end, I guess. End of podcast. Epic Film Guy Nick.
Epic Film Guy Justin, yeah. I'm going to finish this pumpkin and watch another.
So what I want to do is at least a couple days next week, I want us to pick those films, as we said, as we initially wanted to do.
We'll see how many people actually follow through with that. I don't know.
That's the only shitty thing. It's going to have to be something that's relatively popular that most people would own.
It's not on Netflix, bro, I can't
Or it can be on Netflix or something like that. There's some... Like, the original Halloween is on Netflix.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Which one's on there, then?
Halloween 6.
Halloween 6? Oh,
the theatrical version, not the producer's cut.
Oh.
Don't try to school me and what's on Netflix.
I'm not trying to school you. I thought it was, but maybe I was wrong. Maybe I just didn't recognize it as
something
well as I thought I did.
I did want to bring up in the podcast, though not directly movie related.
American Psycho 2, that's movie related, sort of.
It is, but I told you not to watch that. I told you. Did I not tell you not to even try to watch that?
Was so fucking
it's not
bad.
Even a
it was
good
so
bad movie
stupid it was so stupid whoever wrote that fucking script like this is why like I write scripts like it gives me hope that something like that got fucking greenlit and made like holy fuck like I can't even, what something not movie related I don't want to talk about that.
Well, it seems as though next week that Batman co-creator Bob Kane is going to finally get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Really?
Yeah. And I would have at one point in my life been very excited about that. But over the past 5 to 8 years, I've grown more educated in the Batman mythos and who actually put the more the effort into creating Gotham City, the villains, what we know and love about the characters of the Batman mythology, and everyone will point to Bill Finger. It's just the truth now. I mean, with the internet now and with things finally coming out, it's been many years since Bob Kane has passed away. The truth of the matter is that Bob Kane only really came up with a basic concept for a Batman, more of a Birdman in the beginning. It's just the truth of the matter. This could be a full podcast, to be completely honest. I mean, but Bill Finger will not be getting the Hollywood Walk of Fame star. It will be Bob Kane. Everything that we've known of that's Batman related, whether it be film, animated film, it's always had Bob Kane's name as the creator. But recently,
that was what, a couple weeks ago, right?
Yep. And by Bill Finger's family, there is grandchildren petitioning for years on this, you know, and obviously to get some of the dough here, because rightly so, man. Bill Finger died in the 70s. He never had a chance to really fight for it and didn't seem to give a shit about it because
he died broke, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
But point being is that he basically created the Joker. Okay. He helped create Robin. He helped basically shape Gotham City, and he basically took Kane's concept, added the bat ears on him, the scalloped cape, put the bat symbol on him, and made him Batman. That's the truth of it. So, I mean, I don't even know how you could say that he is not the I would say 80% of the creator of Batman. Again, full podcast material here. But I mean, this is a touchy subject for a lot of fans because all we've seen is Bob Kane's name on all this shit. Even his ghostwriter for his autobiography, in many interviews, actually one of such, is a live documentary on the Gotham Knight. Do you remember the animated feature?
Yep.
They did it right before The Dark Knight came out.
Yeah, all those little in-between stories begins. And that was a really good collection, too.
It was.
I really liked that.
There's a special feature on there where Bob Kane's ghostwriter talks about how Bob Kane basically fictionalized so many parts of his life because the dude lived in the world that he wanted to be in, which wasn't real. He made up all kinds of shit, basically. So a lot of the stuff that we know of this guy is completely false. And I'm glad he's getting notoriety for being co-creator, but I'd love to see Bob Kane someday get, you know, it'll never happen as far as the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But again, it's a touchy subject. I just wanted to bring it up because it's a huge deal for Batman fans, and I want to know what you think. So Bat fans, comment on this podcast. Let's hear what you have to think about it. Should Bill Finger get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Should Bob Kane even get one? You tell me. A huge Batman fan here, and in my opinion, the guy did very little to actually solidify what makes the character what he is as we know him today.
Yeah, and should he, I mean, basically, should he just get equal credit with Kane on every, I mean, we know he's going to be credited on Batman Superman as well as something else.
Gotham.
Oh, it's Gotham. Okay. I don't watch Gotham, so I wouldn't fucking know that. So I mean, that is, speaking of Batman, to kind of form an awkward segue, I read a poll. This was done last year in conjunction with the 75th anniversary of The Dark Knight. The 10 best Batman film moments is what it was called, and they had a bunch of different stuff on there. They actually had a scene from Batman and Robin on there, which sickened me, not because there was a scene from that movie on there, but because it was such an innocuous, like, just pointless. Didn't need to be on there. It was completely stupid fucking nonsense. So they talked about a few scenes in The Dark Knight and how pivotal they are and how iconic they are. And like the interrogation scene they talk about in The Dark Knight and the Batpod chase sequence and all that stuff like that. And Justin, I wanted to get your opinion on this because it's not my favorite scene in The Dark Knight. None of the scenes that they listed are my favorite scene in The Dark Knight. Like, the interrogation scene's great. Nobody could take that away from it. It's incredible. It's basically, you know, the entire history of both of those characters in one conversation in that room. I mean, it's nearly perfect as far as all that's considered. But I wanted to get your opinion on it, and I wanted to know what your favorite scene in The Dark Knight is. And then I'm going to tell you what mine is. And
I already know what yours is.
What is mine?
Yours is the ending scene with the standoff between Dent, I should say Two-Face, Batman, and Gordon.
Well, now I don't have to tell anybody anything, but I want to know what your favorite scene is.
In The Dark Knight?
In The Dark Knight.
Honestly, it's been so... I was thinking about this earlier today. It's been so many years since I've it's probably been like a year. I used to watch it at least once a year. And last Christmas, I got the special edition trilogy box set. But it's been a while since I've sat down and really focused on that film again. I mean, I remember it was like the movie I'd watched like 100 times. But favorite scene out of that movie? It's kind of hard to say. I think like...
You're the worst kind of person.
No. I think my favorite scene, I've got it. I don't even care if it's an action scene or not. They're transporting Dent. He's in the back of the armored car, and the whole chase scene. We see the tumbler blow up. We see the Batpod for the first time. We see Joker using a brutal arsenal. We finally see Batman and Joker meet face to face. Gordon comes out after faking his death. The intensity and the suspense from when that scene starts, when Dent flips his coin to Rachel, and then gets in the back car.
From that point on,
that scene until they catch Joker, and then even from there on, it still keeps the tension and suspense, and everything's perfect. But from that point to the point where, you know, basically Batman's getting messed up and Gordon comes in and saves his ass, it's perfect. So that portion of the film is probably one of my favorites, because I remember seeing it. Oh my God. Long story short, it was my first time seeing a normal movie in IMAX. Yep. And even though I had seen the film the night before, midnight showing, and I dressed up as Ledger's Joker and everything, it was awesome. But my first time, it was my second viewing, and knowing what's coming, I was even more excited. Dude, I love the way that was shot. That whole sequence, amazing. Still to this day, I mean, I think in comic book movies, as much as there's been some great films since, nothing holds a candle to that sequence for me as far as how intense it is and how fun it is and great. Ledger's Joker is perfect. I mean, and the pacing is perfect. I mean, Nolan's a master at that.
The pacing in that entire movie is perfect. It's note perfect because from the moment that film begins, it's just a very slow rising tension. It's just kind of this logarithmic, you know, tension curve just rising and rising. And then as it gets further into the film, it starts to get sharper and sharper in its ascent, I guess. And it's fantastic. And yeah, you are absolutely right. It is the final standoff. It doesn't even include the Joker. It does in a way, I guess, but
he's not even part of the picture in that scene.
Yeah, but it's the final scene. You know, from the moment that Gordon arrives at that warehouse, you know, until the final credits roll, because that's what the entire film is building up to. A lot of people don't get it or whatever the case may be, but a lot of people don't get that the Dark Knight is Dent's film. The film is about Dent. Batman's, you know, obviously certainly a major player in the film. Gordon is, Joker is, but that film is Dent. He has the most complete character arc in that film. And the way that especially with the tension of the scene with the fairies, and the Batman confronts the Joker on the top of the building, and, you know, he ends up getting thrown off and he catches him, and they have that great back and forth dialogue and everything like that. And Batman still realizes that the Joker still has one more card to play, I guess. And it's Dent. And, you know, it's just that fantastic scene. And the way that Eckhart plays Two-Face in the film is, you know, not really the classic Two-Face that you see in like the animated series or the comic books or anything like that. But I mean, this is a guy that just got like his entire world has been completely ripped away from him in the past 2.5 hours. And he's incredibly angry. He's incredibly frustrated. He's just devastated by grief. And he takes it out on Gordon's family and on Batman. And just the way that entire scene unfolds still just makes the hair stand up, you know, all over my body. Just how perfect that sequence is. I can't say enough how incredible that is. And that's why a lot of these fanboys, nowadays it's popular, and I know you know this, and it pisses you off too, but nowadays it's popular to go back and bash the Nolan trilogy like it was this complete shit fest, and it's so terrible, and it's the worst incarnation of Batman ever, and oh my God, you know, like I've even seen some people say, oh, even Batman and Robin had more redeeming qualities than some of the Nolan stuff, and like, it's, I don't know why it's become like the big popular thing to bash on the Nolan films, but no, fuck you. They're great.
You couldn't have a more intelligent response.
I just gave my more intelligent response to the ending, to the way that the tension. No, I already talked about it. Fuck you. You're being an asshole. You already know. I already responded.
I agree. You know that I do. I think it also comes, and I hate to be this guy. All right, we're not grandpa over here. We're not grandfathers, though. Your kids are getting up there, and my daughter's getting close to her teens as well. But we lived through a certain period of film. And we were at an age when The Dark Knight came out where we were very responsible, mature film fans. And The Dark Knight actually matured a lot of people as far as film. That was the
and
film.
And especially as far as the superhero genre.
Well, that, and for me even so, like, I've always loved movies. I've always loved really good films.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But point being, that movie set a standard. And that movie really set the bar for me for anything, whether it be drama, crime flicks, superhero films, anything. So for me, at least, it was at a period in time where there was nothing like that before it. So a lot of these kids that are talking on these message boards and Facebook fan pages and even podcasts and movie review sites, whatever the fuck they're doing, they're younger than us, a lot younger, maybe even their early 20s. So maybe The Dark Knight was something they missed the boat on, or that was one of the first times they saw anything like that. And since then, they're so used to things that came after that, where us, we're used to like everything way before that, man. I mean, it's a different world. So when you come,
you gotta remember, like, we were the prime age, like we were early 20s when the superhero film renaissance, if you want, really began. You know, I mean, when did the original Spider-Man come out? What, 99?
It was in 99, and then 2000. You know,
the original X-Men came out in 2000.
Yeah, dude, it was right around then.
I was 19 and 20 years old. Like, you're talking young adult, like the core audience for that kind of a film. And I've gotten to mature with these films, and it's been kind of nice to mature with these films, even though, you know, you get back steps now and again. But it's been kind of nice to mature with these films and see them be taken more seriously as subject matter than they used to be 10, 15 years ago. It's fantastic. I absolutely love it. And I think it's something that is important.
It's important, and well, I'm thankful. And yes, maybe they're not thankful because they don't know how much it means that I lived in an era and I got to experience this firsthand at a perfect age, mind you, where this kind of film really broke through and really, you know, broke the boundaries on what this kind of film should be. Mm-hmm. And this isn't just a Dark Knight podcast in any way, shape, or form. I mean, obviously, we segued from that into something
completely
different. Although
it fucking could be.
It could be, but hey, point being is how important this film is. And we talk about this a lot in the podcast, but I am sick of it. I'm sick and tired of it. That's why, honestly.
Don't say it.
I don't even know what you were thinking.
That's good if you don't know. That's good.
Point being, nothing will ever be the same after that film. And
no,
you can actually quote Heath Ledger's Joker from his line in the film. You know, you've changed things forever. There's no going back. And that's really the truth of the matter.
Thank you for doing the voice.
I had it down perfectly that Halloween after and before and the year after that and the year after that. I miss it. But
to segue out of that, awkwardly, as always.
Awkwardly. I'm taking
there's a few other things that I wanted to talk about or that I wanted to throw out there for our audience, basically, coming up.
Pumpkin.
In November. God, fucking pumpkin. God, take that fucking pumpkin bottle and stick it in your dick hole. God. You're doing it right now, aren't you?
I thought about attempting it.
But anyway, I've got two things that I would love to see happen. I love doing the horror challenge, so much so that I want to make the challenges a monthly thing. Now, doesn't necessarily have to be a one movie per day for the month challenge. I think that that'll get a little bit tiring. And I know I can't watch a movie every single day all the time.
Why not?
I tried to. Well, because I can't. Like, I mean, my sister's wedding this past Sunday, and then I've got my buddy's wedding coming up on Friday, you know, so I'm going to go do rehearsal tomorrow. I've got the wedding on Friday. Like, I'm so busy. It just, life happens, and we get that life
Nick,
happens.
While you're there at a wedding, you can watch a movie on your phone. It's possible. I've done it.
I could. I'm going to watch American Psycho 2 again.
What do you think?
Study the nuance.
Dude.
Study the brilliant nuance in Mila Kunis's fucking groundbreaking performance.
What do you think I'm going to do at your wedding? You think I'm going to hang out with you and talk to you? I'm going to sit and watch movies the whole time.
I'll be sitting there watching movies with you. I'm going to bring the Batman 89 Blu-ray, and we're just going to fucking project it onto the back fucking wall. That's going to be the whole reception.
Wait. Well, since I'm not actually in it, I'm just going to be there. So I can do something and kind of like crash it, and you won't even know anything about it.
But nevertheless, thank you.
Less than ever. they're drinking Drano.
It's a little weird, Lieutenant.
Thanks for the tip, Dwayne.
Christ, Knox. Oh, I had like a weird sip. I had a weird sip of beer still in my throat when I tried to do that.
Lieutenant, I heard we just had ourselves another bat attack. That's what, 8 sightings in just under a month? I hear the commissioner's even opened a file. True?
Sorry, Knox. These two slipped on a banana peel.
Bat. I'm telling you, man. A giant bat.
Don't be writing this stuff in the newspaper, Knox. It'll ruin your already useless reputation.
Lieutenant, every punk in this town is scared stiff. You know what they say? They say he can't be killed. They say he drinks blood. They say...
I say you're full of shit, Knox. Oh, and you can quote me on that.
Lieutenant, is there a 6-foot bat in Gotham City? And if so, was he in the police payroll? And if so, what's he pulling down? After taxes.
I think one of our podcasts should just be you and I just quoting entire scenes.
No, we got
from Batman 89.
We got to do that idea I told you about where it's like live commentary to the film.
We have to do that. You're right. I agree. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Pick a podcast week, obviously not next week.
Well, ask our fans. If there's any listeners out there, you tell us a movie in general. Even if we haven't even fucking seen it, we can do a live commentary. We can tell us.
And this actually is a good segue into what I wanted to talk about.
We'll talk.
Because
I'm
I've
sipping.
Got two.
Pumpkin.
I'm going to fucking... This Saranac bottle is bigger. You could probably fit your little pee-pee in this because it's got that wide mouth opening for the big jug. So
my pee-pee.
Yeah. So I got two challenges I want to do. And one of them is going to be a bad movie challenge. Okay. So I want you, anybody out there, whoever's listening to this, pick a bad movie. A movie that you despise or a movie that's just a flaming piece of shit. Like American Psycho 2. I will go back to that well as often as I possibly can. 1 hour and 10 minutes into the fucking movie before a police officer shows up. There's all these fucking dead bodies, all these missing persons. Nobody's fucking investigating it. Nobody fucking cares. It's the stupidest fucking, oh my God, it's so bad. It's so bad. And the shitty thing is American Psycho is a really good movie. And it completely shits all over everything that was great about that movie. And, you know, the question whether or not he was really committing the murders or whether or not it was all in his head, all that fucking shit. That movie just completely shits on the whole thing. But I'm getting off topic. A bad movie challenge. So, again, a movie that you hate or a movie that is very, very bad. You challenge us and we'll watch it and we'll review it on the podcast. So that's one. And Justin, I know that's probably you like that idea, right?
Yeah, sure.
I don't care if you don't like it or not. You're fucking.
I also like the idea of a Saved by the Bell reunion where the cast reunites and does a new episode.
Speaking of fucking bad fucking shit, if you want to just hear me say fuck for 45 minutes straight, make me watch Saved by the Bell and then do a review of it. Because I won't be able to form coherent thoughts because I'll be, like, just babbling from the stupidity that I'm watching on the screen. And, like, fuck, 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 fuck. I'll be like I have Tourette's. Only, you know, instead of, you know, saying just random shit, I'll just be like, fuck, fuck, screech, fuck, 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 screech, fuck, fuck, screech. Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know. Don't. Why would you bring Saved by the Bell into this? This podcast was a safe place.
Because I'm Saved by the Bell.
It was a wonderful, safe, a wonderful, safe, beautiful place where I didn't have to think about Saved by the Bell. It's bad enough you mentioned fucking Patrick Swayze a couple weeks ago. And That's I'm gonna make. Well, I won't make you watch Dirty Dancing because you'd fucking love it.
I love it. I
that know. Would be that it's, would be my bad movie challenge. Force me to watch Dirty Dancing because I will bash it to fucking eternity.
You can talk all the trash you want about Patrick Swayze, but when I was in the theater for whatever the hell I saw recently, that was a
Predator,
The Martian. And they showed that trailer for Point Break. Give me a break, dude. Who are these fucking no-name actors that are worse?
Oh, dude, no. That Point Break remake looks so
fucking bad. Dude, no, it's a new trailer, too. It's another new trailer, which actually the storyline seemed like cohesive, like it could be something. But I'm like, who the fuck are these actors they got involved in this? Couldn't they get someone with relevance that has, you know, some kind of actual talent?
Oh, it looks like a bottom of the barrel. Like,
there's a lot of movies coming out. They just fucking
put a whole bunch of like classic flicks into a hat, and they were just like, "What are we gonna remake this week?" Bloop. Oh, let's redo Point Break. People are gonna be interested in that movie, right? And they're aren't they releasing it on Christmas?
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, it's Christmas, and how much
fucking buzz could this movie possibly have? Dude, if they're gonna release it on fucking Christmas.
I don't think they realize because. I was at the theater for The Martian, I saw a handful of movies, like a good handful. There's that other smaller film with Bradley Cooper playing a chef and a few other films. Actually, it was David O. Russell. David O. Russell's new film.
Because Jennifer Lawrence is in that, too.
Yeah. No, it's a different film.
That's a different one. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
That film with Jennifer Lawrence in it.
Joy.
Well, Bradley Cooper's in that as well. He's in that movie as well as a small part.
As is great cast. Robert De Niro.
De Niro's in it too. But that movie comes out Christmas too. I'm like, what the fuck are these people thinking? Do you not? Have you ever heard of Star Wars?
Dude. Yeah, Star Wars is going to be a fucking box office juggernaut. So I'm telling you, maybe that's the only place they could. They're going to dump Point Break in that slot and they're going to just blame Star Wars. Be like, oh, it would have done great if Star Wars had.
Did they not plan ahead? I mean, the point being, I mean, if you saw, you can box office mojo will tell you it's Star Wars, dude. You should change it to like 2 months later when no one gives a shit.
The fucking Point Break movie is probably tracking to make like fucking $3 million on 4,000 screens or something. It looks fucking terrible. It really does. But I wanted to work out of fucking time, Justin, and I got one more thing to mention here. In November, I've got three different ideas for a challenge, okay? So I want to put this to our listeners, put this to the fans. What do you want to do in the month of November? We've got three different ideas. Number one, November release challenge. So, and we'll pick the number of movies later, but November release challenge. So that means we have to watch movies that were released in the month of November. Doesn't matter when, but it just has to have been November of some year. So that's one challenge. Number two, 90s in November. Nothing but 90s flicks.
Oh, I love that
all
idea.
All month long. I love that idea too. Isn't that great?
Fantastic.
One more idea. Never seen it November. So this is where it's all movies you've never seen before.
That's actually probably even more perfect. And that catchphrase will work very well.
I like all of those ideas. So that's I'm putting it to the listeners. And Justin, if you had a favorite out of those, which is it?
What was it?
Never seen it November.
I like, honestly, as much as, I mean, I'm all about 90s.
Oh, I love 90s cinema too.
But never seen it in November is great, dude. That's such a catchphrase that we might be able to create something from that.
Yep. So that is my personal favorite too.
That might make me a couple grand. Shit.
I do like that too, but we're going to leave it up to the fans. We're going to let the fans
decide. I ain't listening to no fans. That's what it is.
So that's it, fans. So what do you want to do in November? What's the challenge going to be? And we'll probably do, I don't know. I say we keep it small. We keep it like maybe 10 films for the whole month or something like that. But I would love to keep these challenges going month to month. I love the interactions that we're getting with the fans on our page and with listeners of the podcast, everything. I love it because we're doing this horror challenge. I want to keep that ball rolling. So there you go. November release, 90s in November. Or never seen it November. Which do you prefer and which challenge do you want to do? And we'll announce the results on next week's Real Rundown. I do like that Never Seen It November, though. I like that idea of just picking 10 films you've never seen before and watching them.
Nick, in case the fans can't hear us, in case our listeners can't hear us, who gives a shit what they say? It's Never Seen It November. That's what it is.
I like that idea, too, and I think a lot of the fans are going to agree with us. So,
well, aside from the fans, did you not have anyone else to shout out? I thought there was a couple other podcasts that had said some good shit about us that you wanted
to talk about. The Countdown podcast, they gave us a shout out in their podcast. So thank you very, very much.
Gracias
for that. And I'm still networking with a lot of these other podcasters. I'd love to get involved with their podcasts and vice versa. I really would. So hopefully that'll go somewhere. I don't know that it will. But
up your ass, maybe?
Probably up my ass. That's where I'm going to put this fucking Saranac jug. I drank all the beer in here, and man, that's going to stretch me out. But whatever. It's worth it. And you can listen live. You can watch live on Periscope.
I guess what?
Shove a 32-ounce jug into my ass.
Hey, Nick.
Are you? Did you put your dick in the pumpkin bottle?
Batman, Superman, Star Wars. Batman, Superman, Star Wars. Hey, guess what? Guess what we got through this whole podcast?
No, don't! Don't! I told you earlier not to fucking say it. Don't fucking say it. That's it for the real rundown this week. I'm Epic Film Guy Nick.
Epic Film Guy Justin.
And we'll see you at the movies.
See you at the movies.